Blog Talk Radio.
Shy one horse. You brought too many.
Thank you.
Show number 1,400 and something. I have to go back and look at the count. Either way, good evening. As you get ready to sit down and get down with the brothers and sisters for 2+ hours of good food for thought, Chris, your loving mad scientist here at Soul Radio in the Raw. Leon Thomas just get to me. Anyway, having said that, Soul Gene Radio in the Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. Not half, not some, but all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how. Right now at BASN Newsroom. All one phrase.com. I have to flog myself for that last one. Anyway, having said that, shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network, wherever they may be. Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia. I'm being admonished by my brother, G. Yolando Ledbetter and Sonic Charles Jones in Philadelphia. My brother, Ricky Hampton Sr. in Detroit City. Michael Robeson in Oakland, California, co-hosts of the African American Athlete. Great stuff on Tuesdays, 9 p.m. nationwide, y'all. And Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, doing his thing for Western New York, the Minor Football League, and, of course, still kicking ass with his book, The Art of the Interview, Book One. You can find it on Amazon. Great writing by my good brother, and he asks great questions, which is really the key to being a good interviewer. But having said that, right now, we have with me the bad man from the East Bay, Gabby Norris Gray. What up, G?
We know why that woman on the Supreme Court Justice is blindfolded. We know why.
You damn right. We know that bitch is blind.
We know why.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the American? We are in serious trouble here.
Yes, we are.
Because you're letting this Dick Dastardly person in Florida, who is a resident of New York, get away with so much and not be done, not be gone. And see, Michael, this Bill Cosby thing that you have today.
Yep.
I got a problem with this.
All right, well, before you start fixing the tee off on a son, bitch, tell everybody who we are.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that. bring it over here. We know who we are.
Yes, we do. Now let's let everybody else know.
Where are you?
Is he in the bathroom?
Is I here?
Tell him make sure he washes his hands when he leave there, too. I think somebody stole his shirt.
My computer is slow today.
That's okay. It's so hot. Everybody's slow today. That was a balmy 94 where I was during the hottest part of the day. I think it's down to the 80s now. Yep.
For analytical, BASN has always celebrated the contributions of sport's most innovative and unique being, the Black Athlete. In 2016, as we relaunch BlackAthlete.com, look for more of the same from our unique set of writers and historians. We have been and always will be the soul of sports. We are BASN.
We are BASN.
You damn Skippy. All right, G, go get him.
Now, Michael, we have global warming.
Yep.
We have global corrosion.
Yep.
Yeah, misrepresentation.
shit.
Yes. Capitalist beings were trying to capitalize.
Right.
On athletes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I go on. I can write a whole book about this.
Well, I know there's going to be another book coming from us, but please consider the following, as our brother Tony McLean is in the mix as well. T-Mac, can you hear us?
I can vouch for that global warming shit.
Is that right?
All seriousness, Tony, how has the weather changed where you live over the last, say, 2 years?
How long are we on till?
I know. give me the clip notes.
Well, see, here's the thing. We don't get that glide into, whenever there's that transition, we don't get that nice glide from winter to fall, from summer to, we go from 80 to 20, and you better catch up. We go from 40 to 80, and again, you better catch up. And that's been the thing. Now, as you guys know, I had left the state years ago and lived in North Carolina, and the first year that I was down there, I came back I left the end of 97 going into 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back home. My first trip back home was Thanksgiving. And I was in a dilemma because I didn't know what to wear. I was like, Connecticut in November, I better bring, like Felix Unger say, I better bring my big spoon. I better bring some warm clothes. And luckily, put it this way, I left the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
It was 35.
Right.
35 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
I get to Carolina Sunday, it's 75.
I believe that.
It's nuts. But what's funny is now the South has been getting, they have their hurricane season and their whatever
mm-hmm.
season. But here it's all, the line's always been, don't talk about the weather, it'll change in 5 minutes.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But when it's extreme like this, I joke about it, but it's like, July 1st is tomorrow, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's time. Now, the very same people who are bitching about the heat are going to be the same ones that when
go.
It gets cold.
That's right.
Oh, it's
be
so
bitching
cold.
About the cold.
It's so cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Look at your freaking calendar, okay?
Hello.
Now, on days like this, these are days when I want to drive up to Tennessee and beat the shit out of Mr. Gore. Personally.
Oh, yeah. And uncomfortable truth, whatever that phrase is.
Yeah, I know in California
they expect decent weather, but have you noticed a change in the weather over the last couple of years?
Oh, yeah. I'll never forget.
Gary pulled that one all the way back from Anaheim and Zusa and Cucamonga for that one, man.
Went planting in that one. Oh, yeah. I got
so it. 106 today.
Why don't
in Concord, which is about 10 miles away from us.
Mm.
Holy shit.
I bet you that ain't a dry heat either.
I know that's right.
But see, what happens, we got lucky this time because the sea breeze came into the Bay Area.
Well, yeah, it's early, y'all.
All the Bay Area was under 70 degrees, but outside the Bay Area, it was 110.
Wow.
Yeah, it was. And yeah,
isn't it like mudslide season coming soon?
Mudslides, firestorms.
Damn.
We got it.
Uh-huh.
Holy shit.
You have idiots. I'm
going to tend to box the West Coast has been fires wise. That is kind of dumb.
Yeah. That is. That's pretty much the equivalent of wearing a "I'm with stupid" shirt.
Wait, I go to bed last night, right? And I hear fires going all over the Bay Area. You can't do that.
You sure that wasn't the A's bullpen?
No shit. Well, in all seriousness, this global warming thing really is something not to be fucked with. I can tell you the last two summers here in southern Jersey, we have gone tropical. We're not even, as Tony used to say here earlier about a flow. There's no flow. We went from this to that real quick. And just like in the islands, if you've been down there long enough, you know, it will rain. However long it will, we don't know, but it will rain. And the rain has been very much like that. When it comes down in fucking sheets. And it's just like, God flushed the celestial toilet somewhere. But it stops in like 15 minutes to a half hour, depending on how hard it's been raining right then and there. The air is heavier. So this really is global warming, and they're not talking about that shit. And the reason we're bringing this up is because if you are out there listening among us, have you felt that shit wherever you are? Because now we're talking about New England, north of the Atlantic region, and Cali, Southern Cali. So you know in between there's shit going on here. So be mindful of that, because if you live where tornadoes are, you don't want to be in a situation where I was like last year when my grandson was looking at me and said, "What's that?" And a fucking tornado was filling up and forming as we're looking at it. And my daughter, Nikki, was like, "Oh, shit." And it's like, "Yeah, oh, shit." I put the foot to that knee, hit the hell out of you. But having said all of that, July 1st was mentioned, and I'm glad you mentioned that, Brother McLean, because if I can state my case before the court, tomorrow, July 1st, will be the first day that name, image, and licensing will be in effect, and the NCAA can't do a fucking thing about it. Now, if it please the court, I provide as my witness one Christopher Weber. Chris Weber was a great player, played well in college, was one of the Fab Five, the renowned Fab Five, arguably could have been the most talented one. We know he had great hands. If he had been a football player, he'd have been a hell of a tight end because he caught everything. He did not drop stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He played in the NBA for 17 seasons. 17. So, you know, he's made his money. He's done all right. But an incident that happened to me in 2005 reminded me of what young people will have to deal with when it comes to NIL. 2005, I'm working for the Philadelphia Tribune. This is even before I met my brothers, Tony and Gary. I got situated down there, and I thank my brother, Mike Bruton, for believing in me and hiring me off his say-so. But as I was getting settled into my new digs, I went over to IKEA to see what shit I had to put together and stuff like that, if I had to build a table or something. And in the same mall was a Modell's. Now, Modell's, for some that don't know, they're a support supply chain. Sporting goods. Exactly. And they had the discount bin there. And at the time, there was somebody in my life Greg Kidd. And I thought, okay, let's see if I can find something for him. So I'm throwing shit to the discount bin. I find Dennis Rodman's jersey. I mean, he was wearing number 10 for the Southeastern Oklahoma Savages. And actually had Savages on the shirt. And a Michigan, a University of Michigan number 4 jersey.
Mm.
Now, people that know that number 4 in the maize and blue belonged to one Chris Webber. He made it famous. Along with Jalen Rose and Juwan Howard and Ray Jackson, all the rest of the so-called fast track. Rose and Webber were probably the most noted in terms of pro careers, along with Howard. They had sustainable ones. But this number 4 stood out like a sore thumb. You remember that big chest, catching the ball with the 4? You remember the misstep that he made with the call of the timeout? And then you saw what he did with his pro career, which was sort of, however, he came into the pros in the early 90s, and he left. His last year as a player was 2007, I believe. Now, if it pleases the court, I state further that I find his jersey in the bargain bin. The price on the jersey was what threw me. Now, it wasn't $60. It wasn't $39. The price was $19.99. And I don't mean Prince. But.
$19.99.
Exactly. But remember, this guy was in the league in the 90s. This is 15 years later. Almost 20 years after he actually started playing in college. Yes. His jersey is worth $20 retail.
Yep.
Did Chris Webber get any of that money?
No.
So we know that some big dastardly shit has come afoot. And the ultimate result of this is that you go to Moe's, you pay your dough, but the student athlete don't see no Moe's.
Mm-hmm.
20 years down the road, Michigan is still pimping off of Chris Webber. When we kick him out, wow. And you got to wonder, in the era of NIL, how are they going to work this now?
It's interesting because, see, you know, they basically, the you know, after all the stuff blew after the whole scandal, you know, they got rid of, you know, they got rid of all the Final Four, you know, the NCAA vacated them like they did Villanova a few years back in 1970 with Howard Porter. And they basically did that with Michigan for their 2 Final Fours. Although,
yep.
I'm pretty sure I'd be willing to bet you could still probably get some Michigan Final Four stuff if you don't necessarily have to go to Modell's, but I'm sure if you were to go to someplace like eBay, or Amazon Prime or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure you'd I'm sure you'd be able to find that. You would probably find the last DVD of Playmakers too. But that's another two hour story in and of itself.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, this is going to be sort of a Lou Brock. This is going to be sort of a Kurt Blood thing.
Yeah.
Where the folks who probably could have done the most with it aren't going to reap the benefits. Even O'Bannon, he's not going to, you know,
mm-hmm.
who basically brought the suit up with EA Sports and it sort of was the lead to this. The folks who needed the dude who fought the fight for it, they won't see the benefits.
Yeah.
And early on, it's probably not going to be a whole lot for the current folks, because they're still Well,
I want to think about this. You're in Obama. You have a 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid, right? That 9-year-old, 10-year-old kid is playing EA Sports, NCAA basketball sports. You play in the UCLA Bruins. And Obama is in that.
Yeah.
They got so good that every abandoned move in that video. That was 14 years ago, folks.
That's right.
14
years
ago.
G, this is a little deeper, this NIL situation. I feel you on the Ed O'Bannon thing, because when they broke the story that O'Bannon was right to expect something from this, remember, that same breath, there were kids who were having their eligibility taken away from them. So it was 6 of 1 and 6 of the other. And as this thing carries forth now, if we got kids who are NIL eligible, for lack of any other way to describe it, what ways do you think they're going to do that will allow them to make a side hustle of their college situation? Now, we already know they can't sell their jerseys. You saw what happened to Terrell Pryor when he sold pieces of his jersey. They suspended his black ass only because they were so desperate for money. Did they bring him back in time for that bowl game? So what can you do?
It's you know, again, and see, even though the decision is in, you know, the NCAA is still still fighting this tooth and nail, literally and figuratively. You know,
of course.
they're gonna do their version of the filibuster, in the sense of they're going to drag this on and on and on and on and on. And did I say and on? Stephen Bishop is going to call him and say, stop it, basically, in a sense. But, it'll be subtle stuff. Like, let's put it this way. The kid that did the stuff that had the YouTube thing, he would probably be able to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to have to be subtle, and it's going to have to be creative, because I'm sure that there are some marketing majors that are amongst the quote unquote, dare I say it, student athlete brethren. And I'm sure that they have probably gone over this and taking a look at, okay, here's what can be done. It's going to be baby steps, because again, the NCAA in its wisdom is going to they're going to try to litigate this thing to the point where it almost gets forgotten. But no, I think there'll be enough folks around, because see, here's the thing. The folks like EA and all these other folks that have been pimping off of these kids, they're not going to stay quiet. It's not their nature, because they want to push product. Now they also, as well, are probably finding ways trying to get around this as well. This is just my own opinion. There's probably a better chance of EA Sports trying to meet these student athletes halfway. The NCAA is going to tell them the fattest part of their ass to kiss. Pretty much.
I agree. I think you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Tony, now we got to think, guys. All right, who would be the first to challenge this? Because it is something that they know is going to happen. It's inevitability. But who is the athlete whose commensurate skills and common sense will allow them to get the side hustle money that they deserve. Now, we always use Reggie Bush as an example, and I think Reggie is a perfect example of this because he didn't just come in and say he was happy to be there. He became a star player on a highly ranked team. And there were
a high profile national team too.
Thank
as well.
You. That's right.
But see, but you know, even with that being said though, Mike, it's you know what? It's not gonna be a household name guy. Or gal. Let me be clear.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a big name person. At least initially. I think someone's gonna, you know, because the kid that was doing the YouTube page, what was he? University of Central Florida, I guess it was.
Right, it was Central Florida.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, we know of them, but no, that you know, we couldn't. It's safe to say that UCF is not part of the five families, to say the least.
Definitely.
So it's probably, you know, I would look at the states and maybe like, you know, one of them right to, what do we say, those right to work states, maybe it may come from one of those right to work states. That's where I would look for to see
that's
where
a great
that, because,
point.
Well, it's, because see,
that's
again.
That's a great point.
Because see,
well, look, here's
also,
the thing.
Also, if one team wins the national title,
So we're being told, but you know, things can change.
But the quarterback is like, I want my money, right?
Mm-hmm. Families, it may start off first with the playoff, because remember they've supersized the playoff now from four to what is it? 36 teams now?
12.
Oh, I'm 12.
But you're right.
It's
12. That's right.
But yeah, they've supersized it, and you know, let's put it this way. You know the bowl folks are watching. Well, you know, let me rephrase that. The bowl boosters are watching.
Thank you. Yeah.
Because you got to remember a lot of these bowls last year were not played because of, say it with me, COVID.
COVID.
The college football playoff folks are basically saying, well, you know, we did have the playoff last year, but we lost a couple of bucks. So
that's right.
We're going to expand.
So being the greedy bastards we are, we're going to expand. That's right. Well,
there's that other level of greedy bastarddom. Yes, I got to give the – I got to give –
I got to give
Mr. Webster a buzz again tonight. Sure, because in many ways those bold greedy bastards are more so because remember now you know they've had the four for a little while now it's going to be 12 and slowly but surely even though tradition be damned to me 12 is about right. I think 12 is about right because it satisfies the five families and it gives somewhat of a hope to the mid-majors.
And outside.
I agree with you, but there's an argument about that. SEC. Alabama, LSU, Florida,
But see, Gary, here's the thing. Even in their wisdom, they really can't turn this into an SEC invitational. They really can't.
Exactly.
No. Hear me out, Gary.
Yeah.
They could not. Now, in their wisdom, again, if they want to try, but see, in the long run, is it going to serve the purpose for everybody?
No, it's not.
But see, and see, they have to see, look, for this to work, there has to be a level of inclusion.
Yes.
There has to be. Because it's 12. Mm-hmm. Because if it's 4, you can sort of, you could sort of subtly whatever. But with 12, you still have to make it, you still got to make it work.
With 12
and
Central
I get
Florida.
I get what you're saying, mm-hmm. where they may try to make this out into the, but see, they can't. I mean, look.
That's right.
As much as baseball would like to, they can't have Yankees Red Sox every year in the postseason.
Well, they try, dude.
They were not the best at that, but see, even in their own wisdom, they can't do Yankees Red Sox every year, not in the postseason.
Right.
But see, and especially with the colleges, because see, again, while they may try to make it top heavy, you still mm-hmm. have to have representation. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, and maybe I'm speaking out of turn or what have you, but if all this winds up being is basically the SEC Big Ten challenge,
mm-hmm.
you'll get some numbers in a certain area, but in a lot of instances, you're not going to get the kind of numbers that you could get if it's
included.
They'll be turned off.
Yeah. Because you had ESPN, ABC, and CBS.
Don't forget Fox. Fox is in there, too.
Because CBS is a SEC sponsor.
Well, not anymore, Gar. Fox is now. That contract with CBS is over. Oh yeah, yeah, it's over. That thing's over.
Right.
They're actually remember because like this past, as a matter of fact, this past year was the last year. It's the SEC is more. Well, they're probably more ESPN laden because they have the fucking SEC network, of course. But see, here's the thing. The one thing that last year also proved, and you're sort of seeing that this year as well. The one thing COVID has proved and is still proven, people can live without sports.
Yeah.
People can live without sports. Because, see, you know, the NBA, you know, we all talk about, you know, the NBA numbers are down, Major League Baseball numbers down. NHL numbers are down. It's going to be interesting to see what happens when they make the switch over from Turner and ESPN. And I'm sure mm-hmm. early on they'll get some whatever, just for the novelty. But that may wear up. But see, if you're going to push this, you can't make this you can't make this a regional thing. This has to be national.
That's right.
It has to be national.
That's true.
As much as they want to shove Oklahoma and Texas and Bama
mm-hmm.
and Michigan and Ohio State down our throat,
LSU,
it's not. You can't do it. I mean, look
yep.
how many times. I mean, please wait. Remember how many times LSU?
By twelve, I got to improve its schedule.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Tony.
Well, see, here's the thing. I'll give you a perfect example. Now, LSU was coming off of a national championship this past season. And yes, they lost a lot of players, but people were still putting them in the like top 5, top 10. And
right.
Early on, their games were all their games were on, and they had to, because they got off to such a horrible start, they damn near had to take them off in a sense because it was sort of embarrassing to watch this, middle of the road team, even though they were
That's
defending
right.
national champs. But hey, they were defending national champs in name alone.
Exactly.
Hell, they weren't. They were barely a middle of the road team in the SEC.
Think about this, and we're not even talking college now. There was a reason why the Los Angeles Rams, we got the professor in the mix. There was a reason why the Los Angeles Rams moved in the first fucking place. Okay, yeah, they had the Coliseum, big stadium, blah, 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 on another shirt. But if the Rams did not have a competitive team, there were people who were like, well, fuck, there's other things to do. It's Sunday. It's 75 degrees. It's 4 o'clock. And you're thinking, all right, the late game's on. Rams are playing on national TV. Fred's out there hanging out in Santa Monica, and his wife says, baby, let's go to the game. And he's like, huh, let's do something else. We can go here and do and go fishing. Okay. And a lot of people ended up that way. A lot of people said, there's something else to do. Rhonda's out there. Rhonda's fucking around the water and shit. Rhonda, you want to go to the game? No, I'm surfing, damn it. Okay, see you later. Choices. When they realized there was an alternative to doing something else rather than go see a mediocre team maybe win a game as opposed to a powerful team win games, they opted to do something else.
There has to be a good team.
And the funny thing is, you got two teams in LA now, and both of them ain't shit. Let's be
exactly. That's right. It's true. But if I can, let me go back to what I started with at the beginning of the show. Okay, so Chris Webber is playing University of Michigan, and he and Jalen Rose and Juwan Howard doing all this good shit. And you got that 20-odd-plus-thousand people in the auditorium. Let's say for argument's sake, 500 Chris Webber jerseys on. If Chris gets a dollar for every jersey he sees in the stands, and somebody will be counting, trust you. That's $500 he could have got straight up. And it wouldn't have cost anybody nothing. There would have been no sense of impropriety. There wouldn't be any theories or whatever, thoughts regarding people trying to stack the deck and pay for players and all that. You'd at least see it. So in an NIL situation, if Fred is coming in as a baby Ram, then Fred knows if he's playing and doing his job, for every sack I get, that's some money in the pocket. It's maybe laced with incentives on a financial bank, but who knows? If we're all Rams here, then maybe Fred gets a little piece of money off the top for every time somebody in the Rams diner orders the sack. Inspired by Fred Witted. Beef, and maybe one piece of welfare cheese as a sandwich. And other players may get side hustles like that on their own. And it would be above board, and there won't be any sense of impropriety. So, Professor, what say you? With the new NIL coming up tomorrow, what would you be able to do as a side hustle that would help you get a couple pennies in your pocket?
Good evening, and I would advise you all to keep it real interesting tonight. Having said that, the possibilities are endless. One of the major problems that is going to come out of this, and it's just a, what do we, you know, what do we as players do with our, quote, new freedom in a legitimate way? Because, you know, some of this stuff is going on already anyhow, and they, you know, I'm sure, especially the Fab Five conferences have always looked the other way.
Right.
No matter what kind of lies they tell you about the amateurism, you know, there used to be this joke. You can tell about who did, you can tell about who did the hardest shooting by the cars that some of the guys got or their family got. And so, you know, we all know this has been a wink-wink situation for the last 40, 50 years. Having said that, the kind of stuff we need to be looking for here is what, in today's environment, there are so many opportunities out there that did not exist 15, 20 years ago. The media is going to cut out. The fact that, I forget who this rapper was recently, and he was talking about how his music was popular, but he wasn't getting paid. And that's sort of how things are out there. There's a difference between music and film and all the other stuff that's out there. Because when you look at sports, a lot of times these kids now are going to need, I mean, you know, the SID office probably are the correction. The media relations officer at the office had a lot of to handle all this stuff for these kids, just short of all the under-the-table stuff. Well, now you're going to have a situation where the young men and some young women are going to be out there. Because, you know, you go back and look over the last few years, you know, Swoop, Miller, the big girl from up
Cheryl,
Swoops and Cheryl.
You mentioned Cheryl Swoops. You mentioned Swoops. You're talking about Candace Parker. Candace Parker, I think, is what you're talking about.
Is that the one who was in the fight the other day? Anyway, so many of those young women out there that you can name, they will merit the kind of attention and deservingly so, because I mean, it's not that they got to generate it necessarily. They just got to figure out ways to properly capitalize on it. And when you take the time to look at what's available today on all across the board, you have to go out and cherry pick and see what works best for you. Whether it's the black hole. In my book, social media is strictly Facebook, because I don't tweet. I ain't got that much time. I keep focusing on that kind of stuff long enough to do it as it is. And I actually have somebody who, if I had to, for instance, if I were going to tweet something, I have somebody I'd have to call with their personal password. That's how into tweeting I am. And he's actually at an institution. He has it written down in his office. But, you know, the possibilities are there. It behooves these young men and young ladies to do what's necessary and from the perspective of
sports marketing.
Right.
Do your job better than anybody else and build your name that way. Because now, one thing that has made me almost hate some millennials is you listen, you talk to them, and they're talking about their brand this and their brand that. I just had to tell some, you ain't done squat. Well, I was the number three scorer throughout my career. Number three? At what school? North Central State. Okay. First of all, we don't even know who Buck Hustle State is. You know, you got to get your name and your face out there in other ways. Case in point, I forget what school it was, but there was a young lady in the CIAA a few years back. She was very pro, out in the streets, doing a lot of very good, positive things. She was also scoring at 12, 15 points a game. You know, which is another thing all in itself because, you know, when I'm, you know, I said, you know, I'm working on the history of women's basketball at HBCUs, and it is amazing how sorry, scoring-wise, so many players are today. All-conference players don't even have 15, barely have, can have 12 points a game 6 or 7 mm-hmm. times. Different conference. Go back before the mid-'80s when they didn't even have the three-point line. You had girls, you know, 25, 30. All of the scores, let's put it like this. In recent years, with all four major conferences, do you realize that the young lady who just graduated from Virginia Union, who hit 59 points CIAA 2 years ago, is one of a few who hit 50 points in their career. Okay. Yes, she, you know, her, the big deal there was, is it her or is it her twin sister? And Reggie can tell you, they're so close together, looks by size, everything. If they didn't do their hair to you, and you have to check this early in the game, but when a woman, you'd have to say, okay, that's Tamika, that's Sharika, and look at the number. That's how you can tell them apart. They don't do their hair exactly the same.
Okay.
And they have a different number. Okay.
All right.
Having said, just looking at that, they have, you know, Sharika, who is the one who was the better of the two, will correct me, as far as scoring goes. Was a better of the two. Because when she went down, when she got hurt, her sister turned it out. But see, she had to take over where her other sister left off. And mm-hmm. so, you know, and see, that's one of a few instances I can even do. But, you know, another young lady from Virginia Union from a few years back, Johnson, she scored 900 points, but she was only there 1 year. So, I'm all for building your brand and all that other stuff. But, you know, you got to do something besides being bench warmer third class.
Right. And that's what I'm talking about here. It's like there may be endless possibilities for any student athlete now if they've got some ingenuity and some marketing smarts. But the compliance office, which
you got to make sure besides criminal justice.
Right. Because now the compliance office is really going to be defanged. They can't tell you that you can't do a blog. Now, and they can't tell you you can't do a blog if you're a successful player, if you're one who is responsible for the team winning. If anything, they have to change their tone and almost encourage you to do this because maybe you're not somebody who's of that persona. And maybe you're just quiet about your business and whatnot, but you need the money just as badly as any other struggling student athlete would need. You know, if chances are not there for the person to instigate their own initiative, will the compliance office assist or the student information department assist in helping this cat get his or her name up? Will they resort to things like
it's gonna depend on those offices. Now, unfortunately, as Fred has said several times, with a lot of HBCUs, it's either a one man gang or the students that might be helping. And now therein is gonna lie in the difference with the white schools and the quote unquote five families, because look, we've seen I'll give a perfect example of how this game can be played sometimes. About 20 years ago, I got a DVD from Fresno State. And I'm thinking, what in the hell is Fresno State sending me? They sent me. Yeah, exactly. They sent me a 25-minute DVD on, hold on to your hats, folks, Trent Dilfer.
Oh, my God.
They were pushing, pushing Trent Dilfer for the Heisman. Now, we've seen campaigns like this for years because one of the more famous ones was an obscure quarterback at Notre Dame by the name of Joe Theismann.
Yes.
Who somehow or another had the pronunciation of his name changed to Joe Theismann.
Yes.
Now, I don't remember where he finished in the voting that year. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say he probably didn't finish in the like top five or top whatever. But we've seen this. You know, remember we had, you know, Oregon push had Joey Heisman out there in New York. You know, with one of those Nikes. That now look, we all know the shenanigans that Phil Knight has done with the University of Oregon over the years. They have they have more uniforms than the old Pittsburgh Pirates and the old Oakland A's combined over the years. But see, that's the kind of thing that could push, you know, that's the kind of thing that could, you know, be innocent enough that can get something started. You know, think about now when Air McNair II, I guess I should say, was in his heyday, and they put him on the cover of SI.
Yeah,
you know, it gave Alcorn some national pub. Now
it did.
He didn't need SI to push it because we knew if you were in the know, you know that the kid was good. But hey. Any little extra thing is always going to be done. See, something. Let's put it this way. I say all that to basically say, now, with basically the glass ceiling being lifted to a certain extent, now it can be shameless. And let's face it, some of the other schools that have literally an SID posse, as opposed to a one man gang. It's going to be, you know, we talk about timing, and Fred, I would have loved to have seen a Collie Nicholson be around now with the internet, because he was able to push that brand way before the internet and all that. You could imagine the kind of stuff he could do now if he was around the internet.
He used I mean, it's almost a quarantine.
I can barely hear you, Fred. Could you just? I'm having a hard time. We're having a hard time hearing you.
I think it's a quarantine really that he didn't have all the tools that even I have today to work with back then. Because think about it. You know, we use the U.S. and remember. I'm sure the mail was on pickup there yesterday, if that, because he was in deep down, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Grambling, Louisiana, on Woodland, or Reston, Louisiana, on the other end. I mean, how big is the post office? You know, and that's what he used. And remember, he had to ride the bus back with the team or fly back with the team, and he couldn't do anything realistically until the next day. And we won't even get into statutes and all this other stuff that we have available. You know, you and I, and were spoiled by Mr. Moore and with Onadan and that kind of stuff, and the computerized stat systems that we've used for the last 30 years. It's scary to think about what he could have done.
Exactly.
Had he had any inklings of, you know, think about it. We can do more with our phones than he had the ability to do back then. I mean,
that's true.
And this is why, you know, it's so important for us to get into telling our story, because it's up to us, because we know what they did. You know, I actually talked to Lloyd Wells one time. I didn't think he was the nicest person I ever talked to, but, you know, his level of knowledge was fantastic. And once we talked to him a while later, and he had talked to the person who gave me his number and all that kind of stuff, you know, it was a different situation. But you go back to Wells and all those guys from back then, you know, or probably just a Royal typewriter. Sometimes they used West Indian, and you can imagine, you know, the great budget he had. He had to use Western Union, type them stories, and then do run them up on a mimeograph machine.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you this much: go back and look at the level of detail in a Grambling Media Guide.
Oh yes.
Well, no argument there. I've seen the Media Guide, and I talked to those people when they made their trips up north with the Whitney Young Classic and all of that. Grambling had it together, or they surely looked like they had it together. But if you're going to do this, you have to have dedicated people. You said it yourself. Sometimes it's a one-man band, but an efficient one-man band is better than five folks that don't know what the hell they're doing. That said, now you have no excuses, because they can't say that player A or player B is not doing what they're supposed to. You hired them to play. You basically hired them to play sports. Fuck the education aspect of this. You hired them to play sports. So as de facto employees, they're going out there and they're doing what they're supposed to do for dear old you. Now it's up to the rest of the team. And I don't mean the ones wearing jerseys like they are. You have to have somebody in sports information, whether that be a one-man band or whomever, to do the job and get that information out. You made a great aside about Alcorn. When Air McNair was there, they had enough buzz about Air to get him on national TV in an ideal situation where HBCU, that wasn't going to get that kind of exposure, got it because of the abilities of Air McNair. If they did nothing just to try to refute his greatness. Now, that said, they got to go in a whole different direction now, because you're going to tell them to learn, to unlearn what they learned. Now you got to encourage. Now compliance has to be told, you can't do that anymore. You can't hold Mr. Whitten accountable because he bought the offensive line dinner over at Texas Roast or whatever the name of the place is. You know, that's good now. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. So now you can't do this anymore. You got to think, how can I make this into a positive? You know? Does the stud balls on the offense or on the defensive line? Fred Whitten is the stud of the week, so he got free dinner. Exactly, some sort of incentive. Those little niceties that add up because of the deed done. Good work deserves reward, and here's your reward. We got Radio Reggie in here as our reward. Reggie, what you say about this?
First of all, gentlemen, peace and blessing to the Deacons for Defense of Justice. And second of all, if you go to Nebraska, you're going to get you a money deal with one of the big-time restaurants out there. So they're ahead of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the same thing I said before that Professor talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to start to up our game when it comes to our HBCU. And it's really sad when some administrators look at sports as a hinder. And I'll keep saying it over and over again that the European schools, like
it's
Virginia Tech, when Michael Vick played at, the enrollment went up 13%. A certain coach that was hiding in the van like a little bitch while his assistant coach was screwing little kids up there in Pennsylvania, they was bringing their money left and right to build new libraries, new history buildings, new facilities, and growing on top of the mountain up there in Pennsylvania. And, again, I got to keep throwing these softballs to the professor. Why in the ham sandwich do every time we look, the SWAC is trying to get it right, but the MEAC is the Hindenburg. It's falling like the Hindenburg. They have lost four quality teams already, and they're still trying to put that in the Virginia State is coming. No, Virginia State is not coming. They don't have the resources. Winston-Salem, no pun intended, professor, not throwing no jabs at you, but Winston-Salem proved that financially, the way things are now with the pandemic, you can't do it. I'm sorry, man. We as black folks not giving money like we should. Help me out.
Put it this way. The SWAC is probably going to be the lead bus with the CIAA not too far behind, I feel. And
the football.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, and I know, the MEACs really got nobody to blame but themselves, because all of these situations, this wasn't something that they got quote unquote caught off guard with. The Hampton put out the warning shot, and instead of taking that to heart, they tried to make an example of Hampton, and I think the other schools saw that and they said, you know what? Then we need to get the heck out of here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true.
And
some of the stuff we got to look at is, we got to face the facts as we see them. Don't stand there and tell me that Hampton was not a warning shot, A&T was not a warning shot. A&T, to their credit, Lord, don't strike me down. But anyway.
Right, Fred, you can say something. Look, you can say something nice about him. But
just brings the man to cry.
I know. Okay. It's like me and those motherfuckers in the Bronx. I get it.
Well, okay. Let me get this all out at once in one good breath. The people from the farm, to their credit, got it together. They raised money, almost $200 million. They got it together on that perspective. They did a good job in bringing building around their football program. And then, you all think that you heard them talking about the last couple of weeks. You've been hearing about the track at Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fact that A&T is quite similar. It's a slightly older, but it's very similar. And it's a drawing card for the high schools, because that's one of the locations for high school competition at three or four A level. Okay, think about what I just said, the 3 or 4 A level. And then look at the guys. They got two guys from two of the best guys they have are from North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Two or four A level. The young lady who won the national in 100 and 200 went to Brown High School in Connecticut. I think it's a 3A school. Okay. The thing that hurt her in her Olympic quest was the fact that the young lady who ran for at Livingston, who's here in Denver, she was barely recruited out of high school. And my point is simply this: it's real hard for a college person to do among the women to do what she was trying to do. Because those women are, you're talking about being able to do some big things, and young people's bodies
have not been, in most cases, are not seasoned enough to do those necessary. But from a business perspective, though, it's great for A&T to have had so many participants. But remember, their whole 4x100 and 4x400 teams are running in the Olympics for three different countries. So, and then there's a young lady who, actually there's two young ladies, one who ran there a few years ago and then turned pro. She was doing nothing in the hurdles. And then there was another young lady who was running, she was just running, but she's running for another foreign country. So we see all kinds of possibilities. But, you know, and remember, the young man that ran, whose dad is the coach, he's just a freshman. He's in the Olympics. Now, you're talking about being able to, you know, to sell the market. He's just a freshman. Who knows what the possibilities are for him? In most cases, they were saying, well, that's really not going to affect those people from those small college schools. From the state of North Carolina, we don't have nobody going in baseball. I can't even think of anybody who's going in basketball, because they're gonna probably use all pros, and ain't nobody from North Carolina in the last few years worth a damn. So they can put together a good team without anybody from who either played or are from the state of North Carolina. That would be a way to get Michael Jordan away from the team that we got in Charlotte that ain't doing nothing. But you know, I can see where we would actually benefit at least to a small degree. It's a starting point, I'll put it that way. And who knows? Maybe Coach Prime will bring enough glitz to the party that will be truly worth our while.
Mm-hmm. But you're also talking about a collective effort as opposed to an individual effort. Reggie just brought up the fact that the CIAA is what, four teams? I mean, the MEAC has four teams. You know, they know there has to be a meeting in the mind. If for nothing else, this for the raw, naked capitalist idea that we got to make money, y'all. If we can't make it separately, we got to make it together. So what the hell can we do? Now, a conference with four teams in it ain't really much of a conference.
Yeah.
So having said that, we know
it's not even a legal conference. You got to have
a
the minimum number.
Yeah. You got to have at least a half a dozen.
Yeah.
If it ain't six, it's just a real bad checker game going on.
With the SWAC down in Texas, they're trying to scoop up some black schools in the back door. But the same conference that's trying to scoop up some black schools, they're losing people already. And also in the state of Virginia, former Governor Wilder is now trying to put pressure on the General Assembly of Virginia to start putting money into Norfolk State and Virginia State. I don't care if they drop $500 million. The bottom line is that money, just like Maryland, we all know what happened in Maryland. Now, they still fight over, what's that, $13 or $14 billion they're supposed to have in Maryland for the HBCUs, and they still haven't put that together. And that's been, what, a 10-year fight?
Remember which state got the okay to do NIL? It was California. California, where you got groups of the athletes in addition to Texas, Georgia, Florida, places where you know athletes are in abundance.
And we ain't started about Ohio and Michigan yet. Oh, my God.
Ohio's in NIL, too, aren't they?
Yeah. So we got all of this. We have all of this, and now it's all a matter of who translates the law fastest and first and best. That's really what this is about. California may have signed it first, but who's going to provide for athletes? Who's going to provide?
We already know what Nebraska doing. They're getting the best steaks in town. They're going to put your name right next to it.
Mike, to piggyback on what we said earlier, schools mm-hmm. like Nebraska are going to be able to take advantage because let's face it, they're the only team in town. And see, that's why people are looking at Bama, because let's face it,
mm-hmm.
Bama is, you know,
the pro team,
you know, the University the University of Tuscaloosa is basically their pro team.
That's true.
If we all remember
back in the day, Nebraska was a power. You know, what'd they do? They used to run you to death and shit, and they run the score up on your ass.
Hey, but Mike, some teams in Oklahoma where the guys with Uzis in the damn dorm shooting up the damn ceiling and walking around with mm-hmm. chains dressed like gangsters.
And that's just Barry Switzer's family.
That's right. But what you see Nebraska doing though, it's an idea. They're trying to go forth with something that they think will gain an incentive. This may be the genius of desperation, and we know from growing up and seeing what Nebraska used to be, they ain't nothing even close to what they were. So they've got to resort
some country-ass white girls around that slap them hogs and milk them cows. You know, you can play touch with them. You might get hung, but,
either way, they came up with something, and that's what other schools have to be thinking. And if HBCUs are going to survive, then those in the MEAC better have a very intimate conversation with each other and say, what the ham sandwich can we collectively do to make this situation better for us and take full advantage of NIL?
But Mike, before they even do that, they have to address the several elephants in the room of getting they have to get the conference thing. They have to get the conference squared away first before they do anything. They've got to do that first. That has to be job one.
But guys, I'm gonna throw this on the table real quick. Okay, a lot of people look sideways at Deion, but look, I mean, we know that Carnell Maynard and a plethora of coaches can coach. Okay, that's fine. But whether we like it or not, the eyeballs and the mouths, the cheese-eating bastards that they are, wanted to go ahead and have a flagship person they could talk with. I mean, we had Monty Coleman at, I believe, Arkansas Pine Bluff. I mean, we had a plethora of coaches from the NFL. Hell, Reggie Barlow's at Virginia State. He just got a kid from Jackson State. All I'm saying is that sometimes we as black folks get mad to shoot the messenger, but sometimes we're not looking at the big picture. But we like
to
get
the message.
Attention to the HBCUs, and right now they need to stop stabbing the man in the back. I ain't saying he's the best thing since sliced bread. What I'm saying is that if he can bring information, just roll with it.
Reggie.
Beat his ass on the football field and everybody can shut up.
Reggie, that's probably – certain aspects of that is being overblown because he had the camp, I think, in the Houston area a week or so ago, I mean, last weekend. More and more of what he's trying to get across is coming to the forefront now because the guy from Norfolk State was down there and several other coaches, present and past black coaches, were there at that camp. And the bigger thing that he has done is, okay, it wasn't them stabbing him in the back as much as it was he needed to learn how to say certain things to and about the other coaches because, in my humble opinion, they showed that they can not only kick his ass, they're going to kick his ass.
Oh, don't play up on the ball. It's going to be open season.
And with that in mind, because initially
he made it sound like, well, he initially came across the way a lot of these I know the former chancellor, two of the former chancellors at Fayetteville State would have you believe nothing had existed until I got here. Now,
oh,
in
wow.
the 10 years that I'm here, I'm going to revamp everything. As if the UNC system ain't got nothing to do with it. And you go back and check, the only thing they didn't do was raise a lot of money. And
yeah.
see, when, you know, and you know, like one of the things that Dr. Humphrey, who just passed away, and so many others have done, they not only raised money, but they kept the name out front. They did more branding than cattle because people
Ooh.
Like you, and go back and look at, you know, we talk about changing conferences and stuff. One of the things that helps you be able to change conference in a fluid manner and to have good, solid athletic programs.
Exactly. Foundation.
You know, look at Tuskegee. Do you realize from Booker T. Washington to Dr. Payton, there was, what, four guys who ran that school?
Yeah.
You know, almost 100
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like
Dr. Payton retired a few years ago, and I think they're on their third or fourth president since he retired.
Yeah, that sounds like Dr. Harvey Hampton.
And Reggie, a good example. Now, me
yeah.
and you both will admit, Harvey is one of the most could be one of the most obnoxious people.
No,
ever met.
No.
But we both.
You can't make me believe that. You can't make me believe that. You can't make me believe that.
Hey, just because during the Wynn Murray game, he walked on the field and yelled at the officials at Wynn Murray. No, he's not. No, not at all.
I see. That's where you're wrong. Because, see, I already thought he was an asshole before that incident. That's just reaffirming.
That's just reinforcing. Yeah, yeah,
I knew
yeah.
exactly what I was talking about.
It's like one of those things where, you know, you can keep your mouth shut. You can keep your mouth shut and let people think you're an asshole, or you can open your mouth and leave no doubt. You know? There you go.
But you know what? Whether they were Fred, hold on, but whether this guy was an asshole or not, he represents in other schools where people like him exist because they don't like the athletes because they were didn't not pick for kickball at age 5 or something. It still leaves them with the reality that now they got to work as a team. They've got to be part of it. I mean, the NFL Players Union told the world, we're the game. Management said, yeah, all right, you are. So they gave him a nice big contract, at least something that was different from what they had gotten before. Now they've got to think the same way. Don't even attempt to say the word amateur. Don't even think in terms of good faith. You got to be thinking money. So if all 5 of us on this thread happen to be Rams, for sake of a recognized professor, then the people in the front office in the sports information department, as well as the executives, are saying, well, let's see, what can we do? You know, Gary,
not to interrupt, but we all keep saying SID, SFE. The athletic, you know, the athletic department also, because in many ways they're so, you know, yes, the SIDs are, you know, the beer, but the entire athletic department has to be
mm-hmm.
put in on this. You know, we put a lot of stock, you know, we put a lot of stuff on the SIDs, and rightfully so, but it's got to be, I mean, if nothing else, the athletic department and the SIDs need to be on the same page. If nothing else, to
well,
be brothers and sisters in arms.
It goes deeper than that because you gotta have a situation where you got the athletic department, the core of the institution's public relations and marketing and all those other things. They
mm-hmm.
gotta work together. I used to say this about HBCUs, but I found this about a lot of colleges. All too often,
the college public relations departments and, you know, that whole marketing wing tend to be geared towards, how can I put this delicately, promoting the president and the chancellor.
Exactly.
You know,
they're not thinking, but you know, you're right.
I remember talking to a guy who was a photographer and who had been a photographer in an HBCU, and then I had the same conversation with another photographer at a PWI, and it was almost like a carbon copy. You had this such and such a game, and you didn't get any pictures. No, how can that happen? Oh, I always thought that the president had a reception across campus, or the president had a reception downtown, and I was, I was scheduled to work those receptions. So in the process, we don't have adequate pictures of some of our young ladies, like the night when young lady hit, Pearl is 42, she hit almost 50, and all that was missed. And I say, you know, you got to be a highly narrow-minded person to be so focused on yourself as, quote, the fearless leader of an institution that you miss, like, you know, again, athletics is the window to your institution. I don't care what institution you are.
Absolutely.
You build, Carolina got 25,000 students in round numbers. They got an arena, the Dean Dome will hold 22,000 plus. The Keenan Stadium will hold like 60,000. For all this whole rigmarole we've been going through here for the last 2 months about this young lady coming to the journalism department, how many people coming on campus to see or hear her?
Right.
She didn't fill up the Dean Dome. She ain't fixed to fill up Keenan Stadium. She might not even fill up, I forget the name of that little auditorium. It has maybe 300 or 400 seats. She might fill that.
Listen,
you know, and this is no disparagement against her, even though she is a Tar Heel. But see, when the priorities are right, yeah, the guy gave the $25 million to the journalism school, but it didn't have nothing to do with her, realistically. And he didn't take it back either.
But if Booker T. Washington was an all-conference linebacker instead of who he was, do you think that any of the HBCUs would be able to properly give him the club and exposure he needs? And with the so-called intellectuals who don't strap on, would they resent Booker T because he can hit the hole, cover, blitz, sack the quarterback, as well as remain a 3.5 student? We got Patrick Frost.
Mike, you know, I have found that it boils down to decisions. We talk about Norfolk State. Do you realize Norfolk is one of the schools that was built around? It was built around athletics as much as Grambling and several other schools were.
Right.
Because they had President Tennessee State Eric School was built around athletics. Dr. Davis understood. Matter of fact, tomorrow when I get up early in the morning, one of my things is to actually find a picture of the Tiger Bells, who consisted of the I think 1956. 4x100 meter team for the United States. Were all
right, that
Bells.
Was the Melbourne Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
We this is all part of telling our story. We have to tell our story from a pictorial as well as text perspective because
no doubt
what we have seen in the last few weeks ain't nothing new. We've done this before. We played this game before. Wyoming and Tyus. And don't get me wrong. I think the young lady who is the other baby mama in the Olympics, I think she's cute as a button. But guess what? her and that other, those other two or three ladies who have repeated as medalists ain't doing nothing new. Wyoming mm-hmm. College did that 60-64.
That's
right. It ain't nothing new. We done done this before in HBCUs at the league. You know, Miss Hayes is my homegirl and all that. I think it's lovely. I want to see. I hope she smokes them at the Olympics.
But Freddie hit it on the head. They're doing this from memory. These things have to be done now. Patrick, can you hear me?
Live and living colors. What's up, fellas?
What's up?
Good evening, brother.
Yo.
We're now in HIL territory.
Fred, by the way, North Carolina gave a woman from Section 19 they okayed her in her tenure today, 9-4.
What was the vote?
9-6.
In the words of Richard Pryor, whippity damn dude.
The Board of Trustees gave it to me 9-4.
That's what
they're worried about, getting sued. Fred, what you're saying about PR organizations, you're correct in the area that you talked about. Today, they're not expanding their PR areas in the sports information department to cover that. Not only just the information in schools, not only have the PR people have to expand just the nature of chronicling the play and the players and the history. They have to have various levels of social media. They have to have various level of visuals. That's imperative. If not, you're not working. I'll give you a perfect example. At Rutgers, because I've been covering Rutgers 30 years, Rutgers was when I first got to Rutgers, that PR department was putrid, to say the least. When they improved a little bit, and when they got in the Big East, they did improve. But when the Big Ten came in, I can recall that summer before they came in, when they legitimately came in, the Big Ten threw money at them big time, and they didn't spend it. They told them to spend it on specific things, and we want to see results. There's a difference.
I see
the same thing happening in some HBCU schools now, particularly in Florida A&M, because they have that whole 24-hour news station that can connect with black news, that they're getting people to understand that, how to expand the visuals and information. So you're right, but this is 2021. If you have a 1968 model, you will not survive.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Can you imagine what the Tiger Bells would have done or would be doing if they had social media, the likes of which are available now? And these ladies from NCA&T are in that mix right now. They should be stirring the pot big time for those sisters instead of, making little footnotes about it.
Mike, I think that should be spurred on by the HBCU community at large, doing what they've done. You can't depend on North Carolina A&T to do it, just their PR department, because their PR department has limitations, not because they don't know how to do it, because of access. But HBCU as an entity can do just that. But here's what's going to happen. If they win something, I bet you some white reporter is going to expose it. Is going to do a story where he'll get all the information and do a segment, and he'll get praised like he has a great segment. I'm telling
you,
folks, HBCUs people have to jump on this immediately, because somebody else is going to tell a story as sure as I'm black and I'm sitting in this chair.
That's right, sir. Come on, professor. That's a softball for you, professor.
No, Brian is basically in an office by himself. He used to have an assistant. I'm not sure if he still does, because one of the twins was his assistant. Then they moved. She was also his assistant and an assistant volleyball coach. And from a school perspective,
he's healthy now, but for a while he wasn't. But the school has to pitch in from their PR department because, hey, they're not – and they have to pitch in to a degree that I don't think they truly expected because, like I said, when you look at the fact that the whole – you know, the last time something like this happened, I think, was probably the Tiger Bells, where all four members of the relay team went to the Olympics, although in this – in their case, they represent the United States and then – actually, that's not quite true either because one of those years, one of the girls that was – well, no, they had five sprinters. Four of them represented the United States and then one represented one of the islands. She's because I know she's a doctor now. But, you know, they went out there and did their thing, and they unfortunately had enough coverage from their sports information area as well as the school PR department working in conjunction with sports information, having the lead. That's how it works. You can't.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to come out and say, let's stop the BS. Somebody in North Carolina T alumni needs to get some money together and send two representatives of ANT to Tokyo be a part of the media to capture it in person, not depending on a third party. They're going to Tokyo to cover that event because that's the best way to get first-hand information to really represent what HBCUs are about and that school. Somebody at HBCU needs to get together and get them credentials immediately.
I do not disagree with you when I owe them. I would even look at the possibility of. You know, and the only reason I wouldn't send three or four is it's going to be hard enough with credential two if you can do that.
Yeah,
because,
yeah, you're right.
Because everything is so restricted. This Olympics is probably more restricted than the one after the 72 Olympics when they had the guys got killed. Because this COVID thing is reality, and it's going to be a hindrance. But just because it's a hindrance don't mean you don't do it.
And the reason I say that so emphatically, Fred, Ohio State's sending 26 athletes to the Olympics. They put together, well, I understand, because I talked to somebody as of yesterday, media people to go out there. I mean, it's a different budget. But I'm saying there has to be, and I know there's somebody at North Carolina AT that can write a check, get the clearance,
they have raised almost $50 million over the last year
or so.
All they got to do is call Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson went to AT.
Have the Reverend
put his Alzheimer's aside and, you know, write that check out of his slush fund. I'm sure he got a couple of million somewhere in the slush fund. You know, he has his own beer distributorship, so him and his son.
He needs a writer and a photographer. You got it made.
Yeah.
Because y'all trying to make me say something that ain't nice about TNT, so you might as well cut it out, man.
As long as I'm
supporting them as an HBCU.
Like I do any other
HBCU when they're doing something fantastic.
Oh God!
Yeah.
Fred. We're not saying you gotta kiss them, but I'm just saying.
Why are you throwing coal on the fire, T? Why you gotta do that?
No. I mean,
let me add this to it. If the ANT, you send two people out there to cover that event, you come back with primary and upfront coverage and content.
Mm-hmm.
Once the season starts, you sell that to individuals, a sponsorship.
You sell that immediately.
Come on. It starts tomorrow.
They're going to give you a perspective
that NBC will not do. Because you know, NBC will only embrace them, you know, to a certain, you know, to exploit them. But you put that A&T and HBCU flavor to it. And like you said, you market that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
when they do their 30 second promotional things for the TV games, that should be right there.
Thank you.
That's all.
You know they're gonna do a 30 for 30 down the road. They did that 30 for 30. You got the information right there.
But see, the thing is, if you send the right people, they can do their own. They can do their own 30 for 30.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
And this is what you can do. You have a writer, you have a photographer. You can do the.
Yep.
You can do the, now. I know they have a computer department at the school. They can send information from Tokyo to their computer science people to put the package together. Now you tell me. North Carolina A&T and the tax is some kind of major corporate entity. They're the sponsor when they come back.
Hey, Patrick, you're going to have to charge, man. You know ESPN is stealing our shit right now, man. They're the same thing.
They're stealing the shit right now. Please. Reggie, I'm seeing what guys are doing across the board. I'm going, how are they making that much money? Just like I told you, that's how they're doing it, man.
Yeah, that's right. Listen, when we talked about Steve McNair earlier, Steve McNair's ascension to becoming a first-round pick, thanks to the athletic department, thanks to SIDs, was just like a record on the old soul station crossing over and getting played on the top 40 stations because it garnered enough attention and sold enough sales to get everybody to say, well, who are these guys? Let's put them on. That's what we're talking about here. They need some sweat equity. They need some ingenuity as well. And you got to use the tools that are there for you. The Internet's no different down in A&T than it would be in Ohio State.
Yeah.
Let me tell you. All you got to do is call the Black News, the 24-hour Black News Network, that's owned by the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. He owns the station. You get those people. They'll send them out there. Come on, yo. Please.
Hey, you got to reinvent the wheel. The wheel already been invented. Just move up.
Reggie, it's invented and it's already rolling.
It's amazing, man.
And to piggyback on what he was saying, here would be a good chance for all HBCUs because there are a few other HBCU athletes out there. Because there's one or two, I think, they're going for an island country, but they're going for from St. Augustine. You know, despite the fact that they didn't have
it's the one that's Trinidad Tobago, or Spinner from Trinidad Tobago, that's what HBCU, she's on Olympic team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's there. And here's a situation where you have, I know there's a journalism school at FAMU, and I think there's one at either Purdue or Texas.
That's right. FAMU got that. Because they're in conjunction with Black News.
Right. So, you know, there are ways to – this is a place where HBCU should work together and do their own confession. Because if you've noticed, one of the bragging points by Dr. McClellan at the SWAC office was that, hey – we got law schools, we got journalism schools, I think there's two or three pharmacy schools. I mean, you know, going down the whole academic list, somewhere, I mean, the only schools I don't remember being mentioned as having some great institution, some great school as part of their institution was Mississippi Valley, and I want to say maybe Pine Bluff, but all these other schools got, and to include, I forget what Bethune-Cookman's strength was. They have a major school there, plus a good graduate program, and several things. And the point was simply this: you can't compete with, no matter who you come out there with,
to include the Harvards and so forth, football in, or athletics and academics, where
all work hand in hand.
So we're saying they go hand in hand, and we can compete hand in hand with any, you know, hand to hand with anybody as a conference, because we got all these, you know, and see, this is part of what makes the whole corporate thing work, because I know besides journalism, FAMU has a dynamite business school as well as pharmacy school.
They had yesterday on the college challenge. Morehouse was on there playing against Mississippi and Tennessee, and the boys did good for themselves. They had a good show.
And you mean the brothers from Morehouse camp? Don't get me started, man. Please.
You got to look at you got to look at the evidence. Now you brought this up a while ago, Fred. You brought this up a while ago. You got Florida State and FAMU literally like right across the street from each other.
Nice,
right?
You got to go to the street. Yep.
And you weigh all of the Seminoles and all the Rattlers, and there's no way somebody over there at FAMU can't see these motherfuckers are doing the do. And it ain't just because they got a TV contract. What are we not doing right to get these kids?
I'm gonna tell you what they ain't doing right, Mike. They have alumni and political influence. That's what
Thank
they
you.
Got.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest
that's
thing.
That's what I was getting.
I tell you, when I left Bishop to go to Ohio State, I recognized I'm in two different worlds. I understood and appreciated the passion that folk had at Bishop, but what they didn't have was a strong alumni base and boosters, and didn't have political influence
there
to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the only reason, only I say this in the manner of which the institution I graduated from is because I saw how it works. As a matter of fact, I was intimately involved in seeing how it works. So I'm going, I said, this is the model. Why are other folks doing this? Why are other folks?
There you
well,
go.
What happened was, they brought in Dr. Frank Hill, who was at Oakwood, to come into the Ohio State, and he brought HBCU's graduates up to the university to express the same thing. You got those two things are imperative. You can't go in with your hands out. You got to go ahead demanding stuff, not in a matter that's not respectful. But look, let's be real. Let's take Florida A&M. Florida A&M got the journalism department, but at every HBCU they have vendors, they have means of operations that all these companies partake in. You mean to tell me you can't take three or four sponsors, some people to help you out to know what you got to do? That's what Ohio. Let me tell you something. To get a contract at Ohio State, you better be given some money, and you better be able to produce. Then that's why this team is still on Saturday afternoon, because everybody's there trying to get the network to do something, get in the school to make money, but you got to produce and give it back. HBCU is going to do the same thing. The model is already set.
Well,
yeah.
If you know the history of the business school, and I think the business school at FAMU was built basically by a secretary who went on and got her master's and eventually got her doctorate. But among the things she did, they got this big board, as they call it. Mm-hmm. And you can't come in there and recruit without being on the board. If you haven't put no money on the board, then you can't come there and recruit. And they have built this into a part of the institution. You know, they did something similar to that in journalism, and they're supposedly doing the same thing in pharmacy. I really haven't followed up on that. But, you know, one of the people you hear about from the journalism school is Pam Oliver. But she, you know, there are a number of people out there from their broadcast school, and, you know, what's his name, Johnson – Gus Johnson from Howard.
He's from Howard. I know Gus real well.
You know, and those kind of things. And see, I don't think the MEAC did a good enough job playing on that, because they tend to look like they tried to play the game. Well, you know, we're about academics, you're not athletics. Well, you got to be both. You know,
I'm gonna tell you, Fred.
One of the things that always impressed me was some of the old school coaches, and I had a little history lesson I had to give some young people, because we got a young man in my family that's starting in the ninth grade in a couple of months, and there are people who are trying to gear him towards a PWI, and his mom, to her credit, who's never gone to college, she wants him to go to a black school, and I told her, from where he lives, he needs to go over and talk to the coach at Johnson C. Smith. She said, which one? I said, well, it's a father and son. The father has a basketball team and his AD, and the son is a women's coach. I said, either one of them. Same thing, Coach Blunt. You go talk to him. And I'm told him, you don't want to talk about basketball. That's going to come. Let them tell you about how you choose your major, how you get academics right, and that kind of stuff. Because he's in the ninth grade, he's like 6'4", 6'3", 6'4", with a pretty decent jumper. I mean, he ain't as good as mine, but he's okay. And I say, you know, we got to get him, because I've told her several times, it's just as important for him to learn about the business of basketball as it is to know about playing basketball. And I said, you go talk to those guys, they're going to teach him both.
Big time. And Fred, I you're 100% correct. I had students, one of my better students who just graduated. Matter of fact, his last year he went to the Catholic school in South Jersey. But he's a tremendous editor. He has great vision on putting content together. He's 6'6". He's a basketball player. He wants to be a basketball player. I said, Bremer, do you know if with the skills you got here, even if you don't go to a D1 school, you can go to a D2 school, you know, if you want to, you can do both. You can help. I've always showed you how to break down film. How many high school kids come out can break down film as a basketball player, right? Plus, do segments that I've given them. I've given them pro ball players. Matter of fact, I've given them content from the NFL. I said, you walk into a studio at a school and you give this, bro, they're going to lay out for you. But he want to play ball. I said, and they don't play a ball, but look at the bigger picture. You have options. So sometimes you're right, bro. You got to let them see some of the stuff so they can do some other stuff.
Yeah. Because, I know y'all just love Stephen A., but Stephen A.,
Oh, Lord.
No comment. Even several other guys that were among Big House's last players.
Yeah.
There's a group of those cats. All the, you know, I was with him talking to him one night, and he says, couldn't none of y'all play well for them. I stayed to protect you all because I knew if I left, your scholarships were gone. And it's like Stephen A., Boris has been with the Timberwolves for like 30-plus years, and to his credit, if you took his paychecks and took some of the guys who played there, I don't care what draft choice they were, he made more money than they did.
That's the way it is.
As they say, it was slow money, but it was steady money. And when he's making like 6-7 figures now, I'm pretty sure he's well over 7 figures a year. So, you know, he ain't doing bad. But see, our kids unfortunately get told you got to be a player. If he had depended on his playing skills, he would have never made it out of high school.
The boy wasn't shit. But I digress.
Good job, Mike. I'm not even going to comment.
I know, but see, now that NIL is a reality. You got the big difference here. You got brothers here from HBCUs, and you got Patrick with the pedigree from a Division I school. You know there are going to be differences in how they go about things.
Already.
You know
already
they're
true.
going to be they're going to be doing things to incentivize things that guys would have been punished for. That's in the
There's a whole draw right now, Mike. Yeah. Seven states, six, seven states, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, Texas, and New Mexico, they can start initiating stuff tomorrow along with Ohio. Now, in terms of what they're doing in Ohio, I talked with someone yesterday, Monday, because I wanted to see what was going on. Well, they're still trying to figure it out. I know one thing happened for sure.
That's the figuring it out.
I know that Ryan Day, head coach of football team, went to state capitol, which is down the street from the school, and he let all the politicians know who were a little bit ambivalent about how this is going to work. He basically told them, you better do something, because all those Saturday afternoons where you want to bring your clients to the games and they ain't coming, you know they want to up the city at school up north. Guess what?
Exactly.
The bill got passed. Mm-hmm. But they're still trying to – there are elements that I heard a piece by Cordell Jones, and it's true. Cordell Jones, the quarterback that won the national championship, he said, man, this is 6 years too late, man. Imagine the money I could have made after winning the national championship game.
What, Patrick? Patrick, I'll go you one better. Imagine the money SMU could have made when they made their Butch move to go in there and compete with Texas and Texas A&M.
They took a pay cut. That's just like UNLV. That's been a pay cut.
But look at the ends to what they did. The cost of doing business for them was in the high millions. It netted them with 23 wins or whatever it was. They got those two seasons. It netted them playoff and an unspoken number one ranking. And they did that, as they say, deep in the fucking heart of Texas, where it was impossible to do it against a school now that, again, along with Notre Dame, has their own fucking station, their own media access, their own media concerns.
The thing is now, how are they going to implement it? One of the things that they're finding they're going to figure out initially, one of the things that they can work on initially is the social media aspect to where your hits and your likes can be. And that's what Cornell was saying. He said, this was when I won the national championship, he already had a Twitter account. He said, my Twitter account went over like the 3 million people. What you do is the sponsor attach yourself to something of a 30-second piece to that Twitter account. Look at the money you're making. That's what you're initially going to do.
Hey, but Patrick, here's my question to you, sir. Okay, the big argument is going to be Title IX. What the ham sandwich is going to happen with Title IX and these peons out here with the lower sports, in your opinion? How are they going to work that?
I tell you what, let me give an example. That school up north, Michigan, I hate to say a name because it's a close football season.
Between the Professor getting love, the A&T, now you doing Michigan? Oh, my God.
Hey, what he's telling us good. But here's what happened. There's a black basketball, your points were taken. There's a black female basketball player who was working on some items to utilize her name to promote herself through social media, Twitter, and an Instagram account. She's estimated that she's going to make a certain amount of money that she can send back home to Cleveland, okay? Are waiting. That now, again, how a talent is going to be about one thing. Now, you know the NCAA, even though tomorrow they start implement some portions of it, NCAA or still allow the congressmen to tailor it where they have more control of it. Now, the guys can't get the money directly, but those lobbyists are in there right now.
We were talking about this earlier. The NCAA is going to basically do their own filibuster in regard to this.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Well, they are.
And
they're definitely going to.
Something else to look out for is this whole scenario, because I see, I mean, I was around back in the day when they were going to, you mentioned Title IX, and I remember how the NCAA actually tried to set it up for women's sports to fail. They had their hooks out there and tried to let the women do what they could do. And then, you know, when you had, like, Federal City beat schools like North Carolina State, Cheney State beat North Carolina State and several other big schools. And
Delta
when
State.
They saw that, man. And the whole scenario pulled out so well for, even though they were trying to screw over Federal City initially, by the time Federal City's closed, I think, after their fourth game with Coach Stocker. But, you know, I see one downer in all this is when the NCAA pulled their hands back and said, oh, go for it. They're setting a trap for somebody to mess up.
Somebody's going to mess up. No doubt about
that. Oh, sure.
This is why they're refusing to put real rules out there.
The 1,100 members of school Wednesday are trying to hold on through the lobbyists with that antitrust portion of it. But again, that 9-0 ruling is something else. Now, they meet again. The committee meets again September the 28th to further examine how it's going to be moved forward. There's going to be some hit and misses before they can tell it. It's going to
happen. Sure.
But tomorrow night, whether they like it or not, the Southern schools did it first. That's all I got to say.
The usual suspects are gonna whatever. I really feel like either one of those right to work states or one of the non five family schools will jump on something, because it's going to be easy. In many ways, it's going to be somewhat easier for them because they can, in a sense, do it under the radar.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. And think about where the five families are. Think about where the conferences are. Southeast,
mm-hmm.
Out West,
SEC,
Midwest,
Action. Wow.
Yeah, and South. So you're talking about areas where right to work is most definitely a distinct possibility. This ain't the up industry East where, you know, you got New York and New Jersey and stuff like that. Pennsylvania's right to work. So everywhere where there's football, we see there's right to work involved as well.
Guys, Mike, also remember, the Cali started all this, so
that's right.
In a sense, this may the Pac-12 may finally this may be one way that the Pac-12 can finally maybe not kill it, but get rid of that quote unquote East Coast bias.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
By sheer numbers and their weather, they will be able to grab the lion's share of this because they think their people will be better prepared to do whatever else X factor, and not just maintaining talent, but keeping talent coming in the door.
Now, this one you have to watch out for. Like I told you last week, ain't it peculiar that with this going on, and what happened last year with COVID has so much a detrimental impact financially on college sports. Now that that's another part of this.
That's exactly what I was.
That ain't no coincidence, bro. We lost 2 billion. Oh, we're going to make 12 billion by the time 2023 comes.
And see, that's going to be the first big event, basically. You know, and again, those bowl leeches, I'm sorry, sponsors, will be.
they're going to jump, because see, let's face it, the, you know, if this play, you know, they're going to go from 4 to 12, so now there's going to be even more, there's going to be more or less of a need for the weed eater, whatever bowl, or the bowl.
Teams were winning records to fill them. There were two bowl games where teams were losing records with the sacrificial lamb. They were just happy to be there because they got to pinch them.
And ironically, it was played in the middle of nowhere, otherwise known as Tropicana Field in Tampa.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is part of the issue. But those other bowls are going to be bidding on who gets to play, what teams get to play in those with those 12 teams. They're bidding on a leg now. You'll get a sense of which ones are in the final list that they're going to consider on the 20th of September.
The question to ask will be, will there be one or two at-large teams? Because we know SEC has got themselves written in for at least four. The Pac-10 or Pac-12, whatever it is, they're in for good two. Big East, or rather the Big Ten, that's another two. So you know they've already started carving this pie up, and the damn pie's not even in the oven yet. But they can't help it because the cash involved here is one of those big-ass Twin Peaks pies. You see the fruit gushing all over the bad boy. You know, ain't going to be no little sliver of pie. Even if you get a little bit of pie, it's going to be some big money. So this
Mike, it's interesting because, see, I picked up one of the few college football books that I will buy every year is the Phil Steele one.
Oh, that's one. That's what I get.
Here's his preseason top 12.
Okay.
North Carolina, number 12. What?
Yep.
ACC.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Cincinnati.
Yep.
Washington.
Cincinnati will be higher.
Iowa State. The obligatory Notre Dame at number 7.
Right.
Yeah.
Texas A&M 6.
Yep.
Georgia 5. Clemson 4.
Yep.
Ohio State 3.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama number 2.
Mm-hmm. Oh, heaven forbid.
He actually has Oklahoma as his preseason number 1.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised. If we're looking for someone back. Tony, I just got it. I'm getting to run through it now.
That's just one of his 10,000 pages.
Just
remember, these 12 schools that you just rattled off, these are not intimate dining halls where they're setting their places of business at. All of these places are at least seating 65,000 motherfuckers in the stadium. So they're counting heads too all the time. There's nothing being missed here.
Well, Mike, here's what's being missed, Mike. Somebody from somewhere is going to make a move. Don't know who.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right.
Believe me. And the reason I say that, because recruiting based upon, listen to this. Now, COVID has unleashed some kids to go out of town or go from their hometown. But also COVID has some kids staying local or within the area. So
that's
that
right.
Might even some playing from recruiting with some schools that need 6 or 7 mm-hmm. players. Also, the big thing, and which I said last week, I wrote on, I was sitting on somebody, the transfer
mm-hmm.
portals are going to be a must.
Oh, That's the real pit.
Talk about free agency. Brother, please. I did a piece about Ohio State got like 8 guys who are, you know, receivers who are 5-star. I said, by the time the kid Harrison, that's from who's called the son, the played with Peyton Manning. What's his name? Harrison.
Marvin Harrison.
Marvin Harris Jr. 6'4" and a half. That boy out the spring game. I said, okay, now at least two transfer portals receiver by the time school starts. happened yesterday. So that boy is
there, you go.
And that's going to go all across the country. I don't care what's going on. They got to That's going to be planned in Wisconsin this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the creativity and losing a big budget has to be in effect. If everybody's sitting down there at Winston-Salem State, every Dodge retailer in the area, they should be having people knocking on their doors talking about who's the Ram Power Player of the Week, who's the Ram Power Player of the Month. You know, I mean, that's common sense. That doesn't cost nothing. Somebody needs to be on that. Because now they can do it, and there won't be any impropriety thrown in their face.
You know, and I tell you, what's going to be funny, is one of these young guys is going to get a sponsorship. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Mark my words, this brother's going to get a sponsorship. Somebody going to put in some money from Joaquin Shipping Jack to sponsor.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And wait, and here how it bleeds out. It's going to be so funny or so unusual to people that he has it, some major network is going to pick that up as an example of what's going on to give that guy even more publicity and more hits on his radio.
Sure.
It's going to happen.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
And more power to him, too.
Mm-hmm. But you better believe, if there was a Reggie Bush out now,
oh, Lord,
in this
please.
New vision of NIL, you don't think I'm saying every time I see a number 5 jersey in the stands, there better be a dollar in my hand? Shit, not even a dollar, 50 cents.
Yes.
50 cents.
Yes.
Over the course of a game day, you talking about 1,000 jerseys of 50 cents? Yeah, 50 cents. You know, I'm in
complete. That adds up to real money.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
You're wrong, Mike. And the question is, the people who make the jersey, are they willing to take that risk?
Because
the biggest markets of football jerseys, pro and college, are Fantastics. Who's going to get the Fantastics deal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now you're thinking. See, it's going to be about more than compliance. You gotta look at
him
and see what's happening.
Hey, I just want to tell the professor, God bless Chris Paul. He just sold a nice little technical. Boy, that CIAA big house game trainer came in good.
Put it this way. They need to redo the Oscars right quick because he just got best actor. He just got
the envelope, please.
Man, Jamarcus Cousins said, "What the hell did I do? What did I do?" That's what you did.
I'll let you talk about one of our sons, but now you're gonna have to leave our stepson. You gotta leave our stepson alone.
Oh, right.
Matter of fact, he's not even stepson because he's actually in some state. So
yeah, I know he's in Rose down there.
You can mention the old school.
Fred, is he a theater major?
That's all
I want to know.
I think he needs to get an Oscar for that performance.
Well, put it this way, he needs a minor. He
did
needs a minor in theater or something.
Did it work?
He sold it.
Okay,
they might.
What's your point?
Yes, sir.
They might. I got something for you. Your boy Dominic McNabb is involved and made some comments this week about a topic that we talked about at the time. He was talking about how black quarterbacks always face doubt. He talked about his experience on AP Radio. I know a guy that works at AP Radio. He sent me information. But he also talked about how things we talked about when he was being recruited, they were asking to play anything but play linebacker, wide receiver, running back. If I ain't playing quarterback, you might as well leave here now. He talked about the situation with Lamar Jackson at the combine. The Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Chargers asking to run some pass routes. He said, "I ain't running nothing."
Hey, look, you know, Mike Robinson being recruited here in Virginia, Virginia Tech wanted to be a linebacker. Oh, they did set records at Penn State for passing, you know, but
all three of the black quarterbacks was going to be invited to see you tomorrow night. It's an hour documentary on the Vice TV tomorrow night, and it goes to some real nice stuff. He talked about, it's mighty funny, when Russell got the contract, people start comparing him, well, why is he getting more money than Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers? He was there. And I didn't know. And I didn't
how
know
dare, how dare he? How dare he? How dare he?
That's right.
Yeah.
How dare he? That's two dares. That's two.
And
I ain't doing nothing tonight.
And I know McNabb's record is really good. 92-49.
He's almost playing at a 67% clip. And I made this connection with Dan South, and his media ever asked. South is 86-84-1. Yeah, South is in the Hall of Fame, and they believe his bullshit hype. If I'm looking at this objectively, I'm not worried about the color of the quarterback, nothing else but stats. McNabb crushes fast. McNabb did more with the worst four wide receivers I've seen in his starting quarterback's career than any other quarterback. That's fact. McNabb never had any wide receiver that was a Pro Bowl selection until T.O., and that's fact. Don Danfeld had at least five or six athletes who collectively had athletes and awards up the wazoo. Two Hall of Famers, at least two. And these motherfuckers have the nerve to say he's a borderline Hall of Famer at best when I know Danfeld ain't shit. Are you fucking kidding me?
What? Five times All-Pro. He had 30,000 yards. I think he had 30,000 yards as a quarterback. They retired in Philadelphia in 13.
By the way, I seem to remember him playing on the last Sunday of the season. Jog my memory.
Come on.
Did Mr. Fouts play on the last Sunday of this the postseason ever?
No. I'll wait. Shit, he never played on Thanksgiving with his non-playing ass. And that's what Donovan McNabb.
Mike, to be fair, is that Canadian Thanksgiving or United States Thanksgiving we're talking here?
This motherfucker ain't shit. Donovan McNabb is 9-7. His playoff record is 9-7.
Mike's ahead of Hennessy, boy. He's ready tonight.
Donovan McNabb played in the postseason 16 times and won 9 games. Dan Fouts, his nuts were frozen in fucking Cincinnati. And he hasn't taken his hands out of his crotch yet. The boy.
But you forgot one thing.
Mike, thank you, Mike. Thank you for the image of Dan Fouts in his pants tonight. I won't be able to get more than 2-3 hours sleep now. I thank you.
How dare you. How dare you? How dare you? Well, don't think these two things are tied in.
I couldn't wait to come out. How dare you?
Don't think these two things are tied in, because while Mark Emmett, who signed a 5-year extension on his contract, is doing big pimping for the college players, they're already working on their camp. You know, this was like civil rights. Yeah, they gave us the right to vote. Yeah, they put protections in. But they did it after they already knew what they were going to do to counter whatever action was going to come from that.
This is like giving us Juneteenth, but cutting down the voting rights.
Exactly. Get
police bill. Don't forget about that.
That's right.
It all goes together.
It's interesting how the vice president has been consistently absent since she's been put on the immigrant detail. In other words, smack your ass out of the picture. Unreal. Boy, these people are gangsters. They're slick. Hey, Patrick, real quick. Indictment's coming down for 45, former occupied the White House. How bad is it going to get tomorrow? They said they're going to bail a whole shitload of charges on that act.
It's just the beginning.
Music to my ears.
There's more coming. Tomorrow, all they're doing is going after the company, along with the Wasserberg. What it is tomorrow? As I talked to my boy, who he's the law professor, he told me this. He said tomorrow they're just planting the seeds. The tree hasn't grown yet.
I love it.
So you're trying to infer that there's a probability, either slim or great, there is a probability that the former president may have to face some more severe charges himself, not just his company, but they're going to, what's the term that you like to use? Dig into that ass.
Mike, you all are
I don't know. We have a different perspective of law here, and you know, I'm the most southern. I think I'm the most southern of the group. So you know, we have a different perspective on law and legal, all that kind of stuff. Because I saw where a gentleman that we've known and loved for a number of years walked out of jail. Okay, see that? And who knows? Hopefully the same thing won't happen to this other gentleman that we were referring to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, having said Lanolin, we'll take this to jury. Oh, Lord. That's Perry Mason's ranking again. If it please the motherfucking court, we have found the NCAA guilty of assholery, dumb fuckery, and desperately doing.
Wait,
only one person.
Boy, Mr. Webb is going to be busy tonight.
Guilty.
That's all I can say.
Even Gary scratched his head on that one. Gary said, that's a good assholery. What is that? Assholery.
That's a pronoun. That's a pronoun for you English majors out there.
It's an action word.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh,
it's an action
God.
Word. Like a foot in the
I'm so jealous of you guys. I hate you guys. I'm so jealous.
Well, I've heard great feedback regarding what the HBCUs need to do. The moment, the playing field hasn't been even, but we know this is like the internet. You master the internet, you're upper grade everywhere else. Now the HBCU folks have to step their game up and put themselves in a position to succeed. That means anything goes. You use what's
Thank
around
you.
That's been our
Thank
nature, whether we're north, south, east, or west. We always make the best from the worst, and we do the best with the least. So it is up to that same kind of ingenuity to come to the top, because 12 teams in a college playoff means billions for everybody. I mean everybody. You may not even
and
have
they got
to
the
get to the full season. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You may not even have to get to the postseason, but you've got to put yourself in position to succeed because there's too much money at stake. Remember, you got allies. You got all of those people out there who are betting big money. And I mean big money. You know?
And Mike, you know, you said something interesting. Let's see which gambling company, a gambling entity, will get a sponsorship for what college or college play.
There you go. Oh, shit. Football. Lord have mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Dang.
The FanDuel college playoffs?
That's right.
It's coming.
How much underground money is going to be lost in that patch with the gangsters and Benny the Fingers and everything? What's his name,
yeah.
T? Benny the Fingers.
Oh, Jimmy the
name?
Finger. And don't forget his wife, Lady Fingers.
And Lady Fingers.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so jealous.
Well,
it's out there for our edification, no doubt. But that's it. I want to go to final thoughts. Great wisdom being shared tonight. I thank everybody for putting the time in. Patrick, lead us off, please, and throw some good shit in the pot.
I'm going to tell you something. I was in college, starting college, when I was in high school, when two guys ran the Olympics, and when they won the Olympics, they had their raised their fists up in the air to protest what was going on. Yeah. Well, this week, the young lady Baker from who finished third in her event decided not to split the flag, and the vitriol she's been receiving is ridiculous. And why I'm upset to the degree where I want to cuss is that they put on this guy that was – I forgot his name. He was a congressman who was in the service, who lost his eye in service, was talking about how disrespectful for her to be in a position to not to recognize the flag. Helped by one of Mike's favorite people, Megan McCann.
That bitch.
Talking about, you know, her father would be upset that her father's friend who had went through some tough times within being captured, having learned the flag inside his coat and whatnot, and they beat him up. And I understand. It was horrific. But I'll say this. I understand her perspective, and I'm one that respects the flag and respects the ritual. But I say this. If you want to put a litmus test on who salutes the flag and how patriotic it is, let's kind of measure the guys that, and I got a picture in my office of a guy that took the American flag down and put Donald Trump's flag above it. So when this congressman who made that statement about the flag and how important it is for his service to be recognized by saluting the flag, I have one question. When the January 6th committee came up to vote on the final what went on, did he vote for it or vote against it?
Shots fired. Reggie, get ready to load, because you're next, my brother. Fire up that bad boy and put some good shit in the pot.
Well, isn't it interesting that Bill Cosby got out of jail today, even though a fucking deal was made? But what really gets me is a certain cop cracker gets 22 fucking years. But yet, you had a black man that just shot at some cops, got over 700 years. And Judge Mathis, nothing's been talked about it. The disparity when it comes to citizens, people who look like me, versus the Europeans that know how to spend money. And for life of me, if that had been Black Lives Matter January 6th, just standing near the fucking Capitol, you would have had carnage that you would never believe.
Please.
But yet,
please.
These bastards, the tap on the wrist, they get a $500 fucking fine, and the bitch said, "I'm going to sell the goddamn laptop." Excuse me, Professor, my curse.
I ain't mad at you.
It's kind of interesting how fucking Trump traitor gets $500 fine, 6 months probation, and they talking about they can't get the jails full of these traitors because it would be a slowdown on the judicial system. You should start to put brown and black folks in for bullshit reasons.
That's that shit, right? Oh, that white supremacy will always make room for excuses.
Just my opinion.
Four more, Reggie. Professor, been on the pot here, been on the spot here. Pass the wisdom on, please.
There's a lot of good and bad going bouncing around. For those, we're doing a good, And I use this term loosely, good job of telling our story. We just got to turn up the heat. You make better, more and better use of the tools at hand. we spoke earlier about what if. Well, we are in a position that we don't have to deal with what if. Unless it's more of why haven't we or why don't we? Because I have actually seen some of the releases that Colin Nicholson sent out 60, 70 years ago. You know, and for those who don't know, he took the job because he was afraid to tell his former coach no. He was there to pick up his records and go to another school. As it turned out, the coach ran into him and said, "Son, I need you to help me, explain what he wanted." And out of reverence to his one of his mentors, he said, "I'll do it," and the rest is history. 30 years later, this grandmother is well known as Notre Dame, which was the AIM. And we got to AIM high the same way. We got to turn, personally, I don't think there's no school on this earth better than Winston-Salem State, because that's what's on my diploma, at wherever it is. But at the same time, though, we got to put our flag in the ground somewhere, too, for all HBCUs as a whole and individually. And if we do that, I think the stuff that Primetime is trying to pull off will work. The stuff that some of the old heads have tried for years will work. And to top it off, we'll be able to do the HBCU Heritage Center and tell all those stories in one place. And while I have all you guys here, if you all know of any specific stories about women players and or women's coaches from back in the day, I already got Feeney, I got Federal City stories, but anything else relative to HBCUs, women's basketball, we'll find a spot. You can reach us at, we're on Facebook, Black Heritage Review. We're on, as well as HBCU Heritage Center on Facebook, and we're also online at www.blackheritageview.com.
Fred, do you know about, of course you know Doug Williams, but you know about Doug Williams, Black College Football Hall of Fame, founder of?
Shoot me something on Facebook or
somebody send me some information on it. I just had Jeff Williams has started Black College Football Hall of Fame. He's co-founder. Let's talk about everything that you're doing. So I'll try to get it to you.
We'll find a way to use it.
There you go.
Cool.
Gary might have to holler up too, because his sister played on the national champion. So, G, you may be sliding some more the professor's way, but again, that's blackheritagereview.com. Buy books. T-shirts, bric-a-brac. Anytime is a good time to delve and enjoy some black history. Big G, what you got?
Okay. Last weekend, at the California Society Federation basketball game, some of the high school stuff was funny, throwing tortillas at the opposing team. Opposing team was majority Latino. So the California Society Federation said, okay, you are suspended for 3 years, knowing that you had to take cultural sensitivity training. Not only that, the administrators, the coaches, and the athletes had to go to these trainings. This is the only way to stop this nonsense. You play a game, you win the game, you walk away, you say yes, and then you'll be throwing tortillas? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And it goes back to parents. Those parents or those kids need to be smacked upside the head. Because those parents allow this to happen. What's up? My name is Coin Gang on the Music Box.
Now we talking real shit. Yes, indeed.
My homeboys. That's my homeboys.
That's right. Now we know. We know y'all know about the celebration and Too Hot. But if y'all really want to know,
that's just scratching the surface.
That's right. You want to
go back to the days of what the Mystery Man calls Michael, the Mystery Man calls
classic R&B. And that's exactly what it is.
Say, Gary, cool again. You should practice $3 for my part.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Listen, them brothers introduced signature riffs. That bass riff on Love the Life You Live, nobody ever heard it before. The horn arrangements on songs like Pneumonia and Who's Gonna Take the Race, nobody ever heard shit like that before. Them brothers,
because
my first concert I ever went to was
Cool and the Gang. I was 11, 12 years old.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you know why, don't you, Mike? Because they started as a jazz band.
That's right. They were the jazz guys. They played with Coach. His the father played with Coach. I recollect. Listen, there's going to be some good music this weekend. Y'all just make sure y'all pick up on it. Classic R&B on the Music Box and the Music Therapy Mindstream. Big T, don't put them in the top, please.
Well, first of all, congratulations to the Phoenix Suns for getting to the finals for the third time in their history. Yeah, I know this 5 minutes left to go, but I mean, come on, they're not gonna blow this lead.
They're in.
But who's gonna join them? Because now give the Atlanta Hawks much love and much credit for tying up that series last night. Without Cab Calloway and the rest of his cohorts out there to win it, but of course now, Jonas Onassis is not going to be able to play for Milwaukee. So who's left? Do you think Milwaukee?
Tony, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but if Atlanta wins, it'll be the second time two black head coaches will go against each other.
In the NBA Finals, yep.
And the TV people
will lose their bunny rabbit blinking mind because they got two wholly different markets to deal with than they thought they were going to deal with when the season started.
Yep.
And Mike, just imagine if somebody put $1,000 on the Hawks or Central Championship.
Patrick, just get me their number and see if they have any adopted children in their family. That's all I really want to know.
Well, you know what? I know of one person who cast with the Patriots at 500-1. They bet 500 million. So anything, as they say, is possible. Again, Saturday, the Grey Leopard Cove, 4 p.m. Eastern, pre-setting table by the Stir Fry at 2 p.m. And of course, Sunday, the Music Box, Cool Again, from Bad Brothers from Jersey City will lead off, and we will finish off Black Music Month and step into July and the endless summer with the Music Band from my stream. Now, my last budge for the night has to do with a movie some people were talking about, a movie called The Height. Well, when they say The Height, they're referring to Washington Heights, which is the area above Harlem.
It is the area
that rolls above Sugar Hill back in the day. Now, I was born on 127, but we moved up to Washington Heights when we moved up to Washington Avenue. So The Height, as they depicted in this movie, is very picturesque, but it's the only picturesque movie I ever saw lacking color. What I mean by color, you say Washington Heights, you say Dominicans. The Dominican presence in that neighborhood flourished during that time frame. St. Nicholas Avenue, after a certain street,
is no longer St. Nicholas Avenue. It's Juan Pablo Duarte Boulevard. That's how affected they had been. And, of course, Dominicans are dark-skinned. Never mind whatever shit's going on in their head between them thinking they're not black. Henry Louis Gates will say the other guy. Yes, guys, you're black.
I can tell you that.
You know?
Please.
Exactly. So having said all of that, the fact that it was a lot lighter, it was so light that the supposed director had to apologize. He knew exactly what the fuck he was
doing. What he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
Yes. Yes. So when it comes to skin games, we know that skin games aren't relegated to white folks. A lot of times people give you the impression that if you're black, you're at the end of the shit pot. And I say that to tie into something else that was brought up on Rachel Maddow's show. I don't like Rachel because she's smart. She throws shit in to make you think. But apparently the Supreme Court judge who ruled on Dred Scott basically reminded us, and Professor said this before, that black people were shattered. We were property. And we had no rights whatsoever. And there really isn't anything on the books, never mind amendments and all this other shit, to say that we aren't that. So the bottom line in all of this is that this motherfucker who made this ruling, fucking these statues of shit going his way, or swag of that nature, it's the truth. When Obama was elected, and somebody asked me what should he do, get rid of the three-fifths compromise. And I wasn't joking when I said that. It's in print. Everything was there. And just like the Bible, where things are subject to interpretation, motherfuckers spend their lives getting paid and getting slaves to do the exact same thing to the Constitution. Now, sometimes the decisions make sense, and sometimes they don't. They don't give a fuck. They're just there to make the argument. That's what matters to them. Well, it matters more to me than what color somebody is, the language they speak. What matters to me is that shit gets done right. Our ancestors deserve at least that much. Y'all keep that man, let that marinate. We will see you Saturday with the stir fry, 2 p.m. And for everybody out there who's trying to make a dime, I ain't mad at you. Go make your paper, brother. But keep this in mind.
We sure ain't got no respect for each other. If I'm good in one thing, I don't respect you for being good in another. If your money's a little bit longer than mine, right away you want to disrespect me and treat me unkind. So until we learn to respect each other, don't pat me on my back and call me your brother. You see, we think ain't nobody got no sense but us. And we're something special because we happen to get out of tub. We'll help each other get just a wee little bit. But if I think you're gonna make it, baby, that's it. So until we learn to really help each other, don't pat me on my back and call me your brother. Y'all been telling me who would cheat you, saying it's the devil and as cruel as can be. But the biggest cheating I ever got, a brother gave it to me. We think ain't nobody got no sense but us. It's all right to tell the truth, but not on us. We look at the fault in everybody else, and I bet that's why we can't see what's wrong with ourselves. So until we start being honest with each other, remember, your daddy ain't my daddy and my mother ain't your mother. So don't be patting me on my back trying to put your hand in my pocket by calling me a cotton-picking brother. Yeah?